for Bailey, Stock, Harmon, and Cottom. Andy Bailey joining us here on the program. How much money would it take for you to walk away from it all, Andy, if you won the lottery?
Walk away from all that stuff you just laid out?
Everything. Walk away from it all and just say, you know what, I'm out.
You'll take the kids with you, though.
Well, the wife and kids, yes.
Probably wouldn't take that much for me. my group of friends has been texting about this lottery for a solid week now. I think I could make a solitary million last a really long time.
A long?
Wow.
Okay. I mean, that's impressive, I think.
Yeah.
But it's all about, you know, investing well, you know.
Now, in your case, wait a minute, Andy, in your case, wouldn't that be
$900,000? Yeah. The government would have to get its chunk, too, I'm sure.
Okay, just checking. I resent that one time at the Sky Register. He said the only bad part about being the coach at BYU is the church knows how much you make. So, you know.
It's all public.
Yeah.
What do you like doing about your podcast, Andy, your co-host of your podcast?
Say that again?
What's the most fun thing about doing your podcast?
Ooh, I love being able to just talk about the entire league, sort of league-wide. In terms of writing, this has been team-specific, but with the podcast, I can talk about literally anything.
Uh-oh.
Maybe we do a mailbag. We get a lot of responses from Twitter and those can kind of, the podcast has definitely been fun.
Nikola Jokic, best player that nobody talks about, yes or no?
Yes. I think people are starting to talk about him a little bit more than they used to, which is good. I think it's probably still going to take a year public perception to catch up to what he's actually doing, but he's been ridiculous for two or three years now. He's off to a start that I think is finally starting to command some attention. I think he's averaging something like 24-11 and 7 or 8 assists, and he's doing it in just 30 minutes a game. The kind of production that he's putting up is just ridiculous. I think I actually had him as a top 10 player in the NBA coming into this season, and I caught some heat for it, but I think after these first few games, some people might be starting to see where I was coming from.
So wasn't it last year he had the fastest triple-double in terms of how quickly he got it, and this year, just about, you know, in one of the first four games, he had the perfect triple-double in terms of his shooting percentage? Is that right?
Yeah, last year it was fastest in terms of how many minutes it took him to get there, and I don't remember what it was, but it was something like 20 minutes he got a triple double. And then this year, I think it was just in the second game of the season, he had 35 points on 11 of 11 shooting, 11 rebounds, 11 assists, and I don't think he played a ton of minutes in that game either. It was maybe just over 30,
and no turnovers, right?
No turnovers. Really the only blip on that entire line was he was 10 for 11 from the free throw line.
Okay.
Other than that, it was as close to perfection as you can get from a statistical standpoint. It's incredible the way he can take over a game, too. I was watching him play the whoever they played in their last game already. Oh, it was the Kings.
Yeah, Sacramento last night.
And it looks so effortless for him, but he can still take over a game in a way that, you know, these legitimate NBA superstars do that everybody talks about. It just looks different from him because it's pretty grounded. He never plays above the rim. He's kind of slow compared to most superstars, and it's a lot of these awkward flip shots and hook shots and floaters and stuff like that. And it just looks different, but it's incredibly effective.
Will Barton's injury, is that something that will hurt the Nuggets over the next several weeks, or will they be able to get past it?
I think they should be able to withstand it. It's not ideal. He's obviously their starting point, and I was kind of hesitant about him at the start of last season. I felt like he kind of, a lot of possessions, was a little bit too, he kind of hijacked a lot of possessions. He had a little bit of J.R. Smith in his game, but I realized that there's a lot of give and take, and a lot of his creativity is kind of what makes him effective. So they will miss his shot creation. Not as much as some teams would, though, because they've got so much from the high post and from the low post. So he'll be missed, but I think they've got enough depth to weather that storm.
I got to ask you, this whole Chris Paul, Rajon Rondo dust up and spitting and all that is kind of crazy. We have a show here as a CBS Sports affiliate. Bill Ryder can't stand Chris Paul, and it has to go back from an incident they had with each other. He thinks he's a fraud. You know, everybody says how good Chris Paul is, but Bill Ryder, you know, he's gone on record a lot saying he can't stand him. He's a fraud, all this kind of stuff. Nobody was right in this situation, but man, you get spit on. That's like the ultimate sign of disrespect.
Yeah, it's been that's pretty far. And there was some super zoomed in and super slowed down video that is, I think, pretty good proof that that's what happened. I wanted to give Rondo the benefit of the doubt because for most of Chris Paul's career, he's been really difficult for me to watch. There's a lot of video of him doing cheap shots. I don't know if any of you guys remember, but when he was at Wake Forest, he punched Julius Hodge in the groin.
We lost you, Andy. Are you there?
I said in the middle of a game, I would probably have a hard time restraining myself to just putting my finger in his face like Chris Paul did. So his reaction in that particular circumstance is probably a lot more understandable than some of the other antics that he's had over the course of his career.
You know, I've heard comparisons to, as much analysis as this video has gotten, you know, people compared it to the Zapruder film. Would that make Melo the second spitter from the grassy knoll?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. It might have been Bleacher Report that edited. Do you remember the scene been on him?
What's that? We're having a little problem with the connection. I didn't hear that, Andy.
There's an episode of Seinfeld.
Oh yeah,
where,
yeah.
Kramer and Newman are claiming that Keith Hernandez spit on him. And towards the end of the episode, Jerry makes him explain it, and it just makes no sense whatsoever. And I saw somebody on the internet recently edited that video, and they onto the characters from Seinfeld, and it was pretty funny. That was one of the first things that I thought of, too, with just the ridiculous overreaction to that video. There's so many different angles, all these different courtside videos that are all grainy, and eventually we get the super slowed down one that I think they used to base their judgment on, but it was pretty funny how much reaction went into that video.
Craziness. Andy, hey man, good stuff. We appreciate the time, and we'll keep up with you. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet it. There you go.